Robot Hackney. This is tobealpod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from hipster heart of North London. Today is the 18th of August, 2016. On this date in 1572, Protestant Henry of Navarre marries Catholic Margaret of Valois. In an effort to reconcile Protestants and Catholics in France, Henry becomes Henry IV of France, the first Bourbon king, but is eventually assassinated by a Catholic because culturally Europeans are such a warlike bunch. That's just how they are. 1868, the French astronomer Pierre Janssen discovers helium. 1920, the U.S. Congress ratifies the 19th Amendment, which gives women the right to vote for the first time. 1940, the air battle called the Hardest Day is fought between the British Royal Air Force and the German Luftwaffe. At the time, it is the largest air battle in history. Britain is able to prevent a German land invasion. 1958, Vladimir Nabokov, the famous butterfly collector's novel Lolita, is published in the United States. 1963, James Meredith becomes the first African-American to graduate from the University of Mississippi. 1977, anti-apartheid activist Steve Biko is arrested in South Africa. He is tortured, dies soon afterwards in police custody, becomes a martyr in the anti-apartheid movement. Birthdays are Meriwether Lewis, Emperor Franz Joseph of Austria, Roman Polanski, Robert Redford, and Felipe Calderon. I am your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Suyaka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tobealpod.com or send us an email at tobealpod@gmail.com. The Centrist Party was barred by the Central Elections Commission from participating in the parliamentary elections. Their controversial campaign ads won't be given any more airtime by the Georgian public broadcaster. Last week, the Centrists ran a TV ad that promised voters Russian pensions and legalization of Russian military bases in Georgia, alongside images of Vladimir Putin and Russian tanks. They also promised that voters could have Georgian and Russian passports. Members of the public were outraged. Many questions why the public broadcaster let them run the ad in the first place. The broadcaster said that according to the law, they have to give free airtime to all political parties during the run-up to the election. They won't run the ad again, though. Otsneba and the Republican Party both filed complaints with the Constitutional Court to have the Centrists barred from the election, saying that the ad was anti-constitutional and anti-state. The Centrists are also being sued by the NGO, the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, or ISFED, which wants them banned. The court didn't ban them, but the Central Elections Commission withdrew their registration, saying the party's chairman has no legal power to chair a political party. They're saying that the decision has nothing to do with the campaign ad. After the Election Commission made its decision, Otsneba withdrew its court claim, saying that the Centrists don't have an authorized person who could defend them in court anyway, and that they essentially don't exist as a legitimate political party. The Centrists are chaired by Temur Kachishvili, who was interior minister from 92 to 93, was a member of the Mkhedrioni criminal group. He served a seven-year prison sentence for involvement in the failed assassination attempt on Shevardnadze in 1995. The party's other leader is Lado Bedukadze, an extremely complex and controversial character, former criminal official who was implicated in the 2012 prisoner abuse scandal. He is the one who released the videos to the public, controversially, and was not convicted of any wrongdoing. Russia started a month-long military exercise in South Ossetia that will involve 5,000 soldiers as well as rockets and artillery. The exercise is taking place at seven different training locations, and according to a report from the Russian media, they are being trained on how to make reconnaissance raids behind enemy lines. Also, South Ossetia related, Russia's Sanitary and Inspection Service, Roselkhodnadzor, reported that plague, not sure exactly which plague, whether that's bubonic or otherwise, has recently killed more than 500 cattle in the territory and issued recommendations to farmers on how to prevent its spread. Abkhazia's Deputy Prime Minister Shamil Adzinba resigned on the 15th of August. He said that he's not happy with the current state of government and can't continue on his post. He also said that the decision is partly because Abkhazia isn't enforcing its language law, which says that all politicians must speak the Abkhaz language. Many of the officials appointed by the new prime minister, Beslan Bartsis, allegedly don't meet this requirement. Adzinba briefly served as acting prime minister after Prime Minister Artur Mikvabia resigned on the 26th of July. Big storm hit western Georgia over the weekend. At least 16 people were rescued by emergency respondents while swimming in the Black Sea. A number of people who evacuated from flooded houses in Batumi also had problems. Heavy rains damaged the city's coastal boulevard, and authorities temporarily banned swimming. In travel to and from Georgia, Bosnia's foreign minister Igor Krdnadak arrived in Tbilisi on Monday, met with President, Prime Minister, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili, and Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze. Delegation from Kazakhstan's central bank is in Tbilisi to learn about Georgia's cash management system, which controls how cash is circulated throughout the country. Georgian-born, British-based pop star Kedi Meloa is in Gori to record a Christmas album with the Gori Women's Choir. The Free Democrats promise to decriminalize the use of all recreational drugs if they are voted into government this October. They said they'll crack down on drug dealers, though. The goal is to come up with a drug policy that balances justice, equality, human rights, and public health concerns. The announcement was inspired by a recent suicide in Samtredia. A 22-year-old victim wrote in a suicide note that he had been blackmailed by a local policeman to inform on people who possessed small amounts of drugs. A friend of the victim came forward and said that he had physically been physically abused by the same policeman for the past 5 years, and that he's certain the policeman pushed his friend to commit suicide. The Interior Ministry is investigating. Also, after the suicide case, the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, issued a statement criticizing current drug policy. They said the government needs to focus on fighting drug addiction rather than blackmailing and intimidating drug users. Free Democrats candidate for Guldani Amidan Giguashvili presented a gift to Mayor Narmania of Tbilisi, a box full of garbage that the party's youth organization collected near Guldani Lake. Local residents in Guldani have complained to City Hall multiple times to have litter collected with no success. The mayor's office did not accept the gift. Former Defense Minister Irakli Okroshvili will run for parliament in the majoritarian district of Gori. He is running as a member of the Georgian Party, which has a strong presence in Gori's local government. His main rival will be Irakli Alasania from the Free Democrats, Josep Makrachidze from Otsneba, and Alexandre Goglidze from the National Movement. Okroshvili was a member of the National Movement before falling out with Misha and leaving the country in 2007. I always thought that the reason they fell out was because it was the first time that his personal numbers in polling were higher than Misha's, doing crosstabs with young women. So among young women, Okroshvili was more popular. Misha got freaked out and said no. He, at the time, accused Misha of ordering him to get rid of Badri Patrikhatsishvili, although he later recanted. He did not return to Georgia until after the change in parliament in 2012. Otsneba announced its candidates for Tbilisi's 21 majoritarian electoral districts. The groups include several former athletes, including footballers Levan Kobiashvili and Mikhail Kavelashvili, former president of the Georgian Rugby Union, Bidzina Gegidze, rock musician Zaza Khutsishvili is another well-known candidate. Bidzina said he expects Otsneba to win 95 seats this October, most of whom are expected to come from the country's 73 majoritarian districts. For those who don't know, the parliament is half proportional for those who get over the 5% threshold and half majoritarian. The majoritarian races will be decided by three things. One, whether opposition parties cooperate on candidates and support. It currently does not seem like they are cooperating as much as many had hoped. Two, money. In the past, candidates have been paid to run, to not run, and in general, by whoever has money, and we all know who that is, to split the vote. And three, how people actually vote. So the majoritarian seats are very much the ones to watch in terms of how parliament will ultimately be composed. State Security Service denied allegations that it is pressuring members of the State for the People, a political party launched by opera star Paata Burchaladze. Mehra Metrovelli, a member of the party, recently told the media that security officials are putting financial pressure on the party. You may recall that two members of the party were arrested last month. The party claims it was politically motivated, although the police say that it was related to alcohol, since we all know that's illegal in Georgia. Two Georgians were detained by Russian border guards at the administrative boundary line with Abkhazia. The two men are residents of Ruhi near Zudidi. They were detained for illegally crossing the border while fishing and swimming in a local river. As is customary, they'll be released after their families pay what is uproariously called a fine to the Abkhaz authorities. An American hiker was stabbed to death near the village of Lechauri in Cajeti. The police arrested a local man. He'll be charged with premeditated murder and could serve up to 15 years in prison. He's pleaded guilty. According to reports, the two men had argued before the stabbing. This is a very unusual case because attacks on tourists are so unusual. I have heard of none of them, to tell you the truth. I mean, except back in the 90s and like Swanetti when they, you know, people would get stripped and all their stuff stolen and have to wander down the mountain naked. But yeah, not many attacks like that. But I don't know. Anybody hears about this or if anybody knew this person, please let us know. Two soldiers are missing after diving into the Black Sea near Gonio. The dive was part of a military drill. Two soldiers didn't resurface after jumping on the 16th of August. Defense Ministry is conducting a search with the help of the U.S. Department of Defense. Military police are investigating whether negligence was a factor. The father of one of the missing told the media that his son was an excellent swimmer and that the Defense Ministry didn't follow safety protocols. Defense Ministry Zodia promised to punish those responsible if negligence is found. Turkish media reported that Adil Özkuz, a Turkish citizen with links to Fethullah Gülen, and who is suspected of involvement in the coup attempt, may be hiding out in Georgia. One report said that he was seen eating at a restaurant in Georgia, but the Turkish government says the claims are not true. National Bank of Georgia published statistics on remittances. Incoming remittances during July topped $100 million, a 10.4% increase over the same period last year. You may recall that remittances were way down due to the weak ruble and the financial crisis in Greece. Russia is still the single largest source, although the EU, US, and Israel are all sending more money than they were in the past. Interestingly, money transfers out of Georgia also increased from July 2015 to July 2016, year on year, from $12.6 million US dollars to $15.7 million US dollars. Geostat has numbers on foreign direct investment. Total FDI in 2015 was $1.56 billion, down 11% from 2014. The biggest sources were Azerbaijan, the UK, and the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. The biggest sector by far was transport and communications. The Netherlands particularly, but also Luxembourg and often the UK, means at least in part repackaged FDI, often from Russia, sometimes Georgians in Russia and sometimes non-Georgians in Russia or Central Asia that like to conceal their identity. It has been handed to offshore entities handled by these law firms or sort of small boutique banks in London or Luxembourg. Geostat also reported that Georgia's total trade in merchandise was up 17% during the first 7 months of 2016 on a year-on-year basis. Exports fell by 12%, while imports grew by 25%. This year's trade deficit so far is $4.3 billion. Work is underway on the second terminal at Tbilisi's International Airport. Tbilisi Airport Operator Tav signed a new contract with United Airports of Georgia in 2015 that requires it to build a second terminal. The foundation is being laid. Work should be finished by the end of 2017. Then the airport will be able to serve 3.5 million passengers per year. Last year, more than 1.8 million people passed through the airport. The government-sponsored Produce in Georgia program invested in two new businesses, a meat processing plant in Tbilisi, and a baked goods factory in Kobuleti. The two enterprises are projected to create 350 new jobs, and roughly $1.75 million will be invested by the government. The government announced a tender to upgrade two of the country's airports in Kutaisi and Umbrallauri in Racha, which, as far as I know, barely exists, the one in Umbrallauri. It's an old military strip. The winning firm will develop both the airports. Kutaisi will get a general infrastructure upgrade. Umbrallauri will get a new 1,100-meter runway and a new terminal. A census carried out in South Ossetia found that 53,532 people live on the territory. Of those, 3,966 consider themselves ethnic Georgians. My guess is that the total population is probably closer to 30,000. Weightlifter Lasha Talakadze won a gold medal in the 150-kilogram and over weight class at the Rio Olympics. He lifted a total of 473 kilos on two lifts, 215 on the snatch and 258 on the clean and jerk, to set a new world record. There was some controversy. Iranian lifter Behad Salim Kordasiabi, who was the favorite to win the gold, was disqualified when judges said he didn't fully extend his arms on the clean and jerk. Iran's coach said that the disqualification was a conspiracy by the judges. Another Georgian, Irakli Turmanidze, won the bronze. Greco-Roman wrestler Shmagi Bolkvadze won the bronze in the 66-kilogram weight class. At Rio, he beat Tomohiro Inoue of Japan. Canoeist Zaza Nadiradze is competing in the final in the men's 200-meter canoe race in Rio on Thursday. He and seven other canoeists will compete for the gold. He is the first Georgian to compete in the Olympics in the canoe sprint. Georgian-born Greco-Roman wrestler David Chakvetadze, who is competing for Russia, won the gold medal in the 85-kilo bracket at the Rio Olympics. He defeated Jean Belniuk of Ukraine. The Tbilisi Zoo got a new baby lynx, Hale, who was rescued from a flooded river in Lago Dehi by a park ranger. The veterinarian named her after the actress Halle Berry. Parliamentary news. Parliament's on summer recess till September. However, next week, the Parliamentary Bureau, which is a group of senior lawmakers within the Parliament, will meet to discuss a bill that would amend the Constitution to reflect Georgia's Western orientation. The bill's in response to Nino Bourgenadze's proposal to amend the Constitution to guarantee Georgia's non-bloc status, which is a goal of her Democratic Movement United Georgia Party. You may recall that the National Movement tried to make Western orientation legally binding through a similar clause in 2013. That bill failed. The meme this week is a video about weightlifter Lasha Talakhadze, who won a gold medal and set a new world record in Rio. The video is by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Talakhadze was supposed to be helped by the fact that Russia's weightlifters are banned because of doping, but his world record means that he would have won the gold anyway. Andrew North, in Stuff to Read, writes in Foreign Affairs about the 2008 war, how its effects are still felt today. He argues that Georgia has long looked to the West for protection, and it has always been disappointed. Still, Georgia has no option other than to pursue the Western path. Foreign Affairs has an interesting piece on Azerbaijan's geopolitical choice. The country is being wooed by Iran and Russia, is looking for new partners because it's unhappy with the U.S. and EU, who are critical of the government's human rights abuses, which are substantial. They're also concerned about Islamist militancy and want to cooperate more with their neighbors on security, but they don't get along with Iran very well because of the Iranian-Azeri minority, so kind of tough. Social Science in the Caucasus looks at international migration in Georgia. Roughly half the population are internal migrants, meaning they were born in Georgia and now live somewhere else in Georgia. Women are much more likely to be internal migrants because they often move to live with their husbands after getting married. Josh Cusetta writes in Eurasianet about the role of geopolitics in Georgia's parliamentary election campaign. He focuses on Bourgenadze's push for official non-bloc status, a recent ad by the centrist party that promised to legalize Russian military bases in Georgia. Cusetta doesn't think that pro-Russian or anti-NATO views are going to be particularly popular in the ballot box. Resident Advisor has a piece on Georgia's growing rave culture. They rave, pun intended, about Bassiani, which they think is one of Tbilisi's best night spots. Also getting attention is Mtkvadze, Cafe Gallery, and Didi Gallery. The point is that rave culture is proof that Western values are seeping into Georgia's social fabric, although I'm not sure that raves have a lot of values associated with them, but maybe. Former NATO Supreme Allied Commander James Stavridis has an op-ed in Time magazine where he calls for the U.S. to make a grand bargain with Russia. Putin is reaching out to Washington about cooperating in Syria and ending the fighting in Ukraine, but that would involve recognizing Russia's rule over Crimea and lifting the economic sanctions. He rejects making those concessions, but says that the U.S. should keep communication lines open and try to cooperate more on counterterrorism. Foreign Policy has a piece on the thaw between Putin and Erdogan. They think that the relationship is still frostier than it looks, mostly because Turkey and Russia are at odds over Syria. Russia still blames Turkey for allowing terrorists and weapons to cross its border into Syria. Turkey isn't willing to accept any peace deal that allows Assad to stay in power, and they don't want the Kurds to be a part of peace talks. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty investigates the disturbing number of recent attacks on journalists in Ukraine. Prosecutor General's office has logged 113 crimes against journalists so far this year, including physical attacks, damage to property, and obstruction of activities. Especially troubling is the murder of Pavel Sheremet, an investigative journalist who was killed in Kiev in July by a car bomb. The attackers are usually ultra-nationalists, and many people fear that freedom of speech is under attack. Guardian has a piece on pop star Kitty Melua, who is in Gori to record an album. She lived in Batumi until her family, I mean, originally from Abkhazia, but she moved to Batumi until her family moved to the UK when she was 9 years old. She told a reporter that her grandfather was deported to the Gulag by Stalin and that coming back to Georgia brings some bittersweet feelings. The brilliant and provocative journalist Masha Gessen writes in the New York Times about the current state of things in Russia. She argues that the Soviet Union never ended because the institutions that underpinned the Soviet regime, most importantly the KGB and the state-run media, weren't dismantled. They just passed into the hands of Boris Yeltsin and now Vladimir Putin. All this stuff to read posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 100,000, the estimated population of the Black Sea common dolphin. According to the International Union for Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources, the population was decimated by commercial fishing during the 20th century, a practice that was banned by the USSR, Bulgaria, and Romania in 1966, and Turkey in 1983. These days, dolphins are mostly congregating around Georgia's Black Sea coast during the winter, following the annual winter concentration of anchovies. Culinary Backstreets is putting on a Georgian cooking class in the village of Arag Vispiri this Saturday. The class starts at 10 a.m., lasts all day, and costs $40 per person. Teacher is Ketka Topadze, speaks fluent English. I think, if this is the Ketka Topadze I'm thinking of, she is also a teacher at the American High School. She specializes, the focus will be on tchemali and homemade bread. You can sign up by going to culinarybackstreets.com and then finding Tbilisi under the Culinary Walks tab. For friends of Georgia and New York City, fantastic jazz pianist Georgi Mikadze is playing nightly shows in New York through the 21st of August at the Blue Note Jazz Club. Mikadze is leading the rhythm section for guitar player Lee Retinur. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo, Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on the website, www.tpilpod.com. And from Birmingham, the one in England, not the one in Alabama, 1979 by ELO. We'll finish with Don't Bring Me Down. We'll be right back.
Come on, bring me.